This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, and I'm imposing on the professor for one more question about the present state of the world affairs watching Ukraine crisis, the inflation, the recovery from the pandemic, if it is, the supply chain, the anxieties about Taiwan. But all this taken together delivers us to Ukraine, where Russia, a nuclear power, is pounding a much smaller state, half the size of Russia, without the army or the sophistication of Russian logistics. And Russia has fared badly in 90 days, however, nearly 100 days. However, Russia is said now to be making advances. So we accept that. It's got a bottomless recruiting possibility. However, what I'm reading in Europe now, and this is early days, and Europe is filled with different opinions, is that we're risking walking back into the world of Thomas Hobbes, a philosopher of the 16th, 17th century. He comes down to us through a lot of writing, but it comes down to this: the strong are the big, and the weak are the small. Is that where we are, Professor? Do we risk plunging back into something we thought we'd left behind us?
Well, I think I would emphasize, you said we thought we had left behind us. Humans have always been aggressive creatures since the beginning of Homo sapiens, if not before. We know that the only other species, another primate, that will kill creatures, but not in order to eat them, and will kill its own kind for, say, over a territorial issue, are chimpanzees, and they've been observed doing this in Africa. The mistake here, the reason, I don't know how anybody after the 20th century and the incredible bloodletting of the 20th century thought that we had gotten out of the war of all against all and this Hobbesian world. The reason that we made this mistake is that we don't understand the problem is not weapons. You can kill people with a crossbow, you can kill them with a sword, you can kill them with a rock, you can kill them with your bare hands if you have a strong enough grip. The problem is not weapons. The problem is a very mysterious psychological quantity, namely human aggression. Why are we aggressive? Why do we and chimps kill ourselves and other species for reasons that have nothing to do with our survival and, in fact, may jeopardize our survival? And this is one of the great mistakes we've made, is thinking that we are out of that. No, we're deeply into it. And all this war demonstrates is that war has been ubiquitous throughout human history, and it remains so, and that it is both little understood and even less studied. Human aggression is not a well-developed field of study. And what we have instead is a kind of moral absolutism, which I think, which says basically that nuclear weapons are for some reason worse than other weapons. This is particularly the position of the late Professor Elizabeth Anscombe, a great great philosopher who was professor at Cambridge University and a disciple of Ludwig Wittgenstein. In 1948, she wrote an article about why, I guess, Oxford should not give Truman an honorary degree because he had used the nuclear bomb. And she had to make the case that nuclear weapons were somehow more evil than other weapons, which I find preposterous. I mean, I think that poison gas, I think that fire weapons, I think that phosphorus bomb attacks, you name it, there's a list of weapons a mile long which are absolutely as destructive as nuclear weapons. Furthermore, Professor Anscombe and the people who are now worried, they fail to understand that nuclear weapons, in fact, have they have some use. Very little. I don't teach them because I don't teach them in my courses on strategy and war because I think that they have very little use in war fighting. However, it may be that they could be used in war termination. That's how World War II was ended. They're also very powerful deterrents. If you have nuclear weapons, no one is going to come and attack you. Furthermore, the use of nuclear weapons in a timely fashion can save vast numbers of dead. And I would just give the example of everybody. Every time I go to Japan, I go to Hiroshima, and I meditate on the horrors of the Hiroshima bombing, in which roughly 150,000 people died. If Japan had not surrendered after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we were planning to invade through Operation Downfall and Operation Coronet, which were very, very shaky strategically, whether they could have been carried out. I had a late colleague who was supposed to be in Downfall, a great expert on Japan. He said it never would have worked. The estimate for the number of dead in an invasion of the main islands of Japan would have taken November of 1945, 6 million American dead, 35 million Japanese dead, and that's assuming that it worked. Now, the total number of dead in World War II is a little bit over 40 million. So we're talking about a single operation to terminate a war that cost as much as the war itself. And the loss of 150,000 innocent lives prevented the loss of perhaps 40 million other lives. So limitation of nuclear weapons doesn't necessarily make people safer. In fact, you may be safer if you have weapons than if you don't. People, you're less likely to be attacked. Nonetheless, we are constantly looking at ways to somehow to outlaw. We think we're outlawing nuclear weapons. We're looking for a way to outlaw war and outlaw conflict. But we're doing it without looking at the mystery of aggression. We had the SALT treaties in 72 and 79, the START treaties in 1982. And then, of course, we have the law against the against nuclear weapons, which has just come in last year from the United Nations, that makes nuclear weapons illegal. Well, this is all folly. This is as much folly as the League of Nations or the United Nations, because we're not dealing here with a technical problem or a military problem or even really a political problem. There's no political solution to war. War emerges in some mysterious way from humankind's innate tendency to aggression, and aggression leads to escalation. And if you reach a point where you're going to lose, if you don't escalate, you'll escalate. And I see this. The only way that I believe that we can change this, and this is not the word of a sociologist or a political scientist or even a historian, is moral change. Human beings have to become better. We have to stop being aggressive. We have to become reasonable. The problem is that out of 100 people, there are probably five who are never going to be that way for various reasons. And they are usually the ones. I mean, Putin is the one who started this war. This wasn't started by after long deliberations in the Russian parliament. So my mind, when we turn to this question of abolishing war, or abolishing nuclear weapons, my mind leaves the realm of the social sciences and it goes to philosophy and religion and the moral questions that have preoccupied all the great civilizations of the world. And I would close by quoting from the Psalms. Psalm 46, as translated by Miles Coverdale, speaking of God, "He maketh wars to cease in all the world. He breaketh the bow and nappeth the spear in thunder and burneth the chariots in the fire." And in some sense, this challenge that we're looking at now requires what you could almost call a change in human nature. There's no structure of consultation or of incentivization or anything like that that will keep us out of war. Wars have been around for thousands of years before they were written down. And of course, the earliest ballads and great sagas that we have are of wars. And in a sense, we human beings, unless somehow we change, are trapped in that situation. And that's what you have said about Ukraine and Russia. And remember, Ukraine is tiny in comparison to Russia. Ukraine is a little bit bigger than France. Russia is almost 7 million square miles. The idea that Ukraine, even a nuclear Ukraine, is a threat to a Russia that has all that territory and 5,000 nuclear bombs is crazy. What we're touching at now, as we suddenly recoil in horror at the thought that the Ukrainians may go nuclear, is a series of very deep questions about human violence, about the origin of war, and about the possibilities, if any, for eliminating it, which have defied, basically, they have defied the finest minds and the finest strategists in human history, which has left the field open to people like Hitler or Stalin or any number of others, the warriors, the Napoleons, the people for whom fighting is just instinctive and second nature.
Thomas Hobbes, 1588 to 1679. Leviathan was published in 1651, so it's the middle of the 17th
century. Which book? Now, what are you talking about now?
Leviathan.
Leviathan, yes.
Published in 1651, and Leviathan, Book 1, Chapter 13. You know it well, Professor. The life of man is solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. That was the middle of the 17th century. We're now at the beginning of the 21st. The question to be answered, have we changed? This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.